No. It turns out there's a fabulous sound system in here.
Really?
Better late than never. I lost you, honey. Okay. That's last. That's first.
Do you want to keep the chairs in, or do you want to take some out?
Let's wait a minute, because last time we took the chairs out, and then we had to put them plus others in. So we could either
give it
a couple minutes, and then, but then we could take them out.
Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
Thank you.
be aware of the subtle rainbows of light throughout the universe. Colors beyond imagining, a vast spectrum of energies, glory streaking whirlwinds of ecstasy, the cosmic dance. And just as all the stars have their place, you might notice that so do you, as important a place as any star in the wholeness of what we are. Each one participating in the divine breath. Breathing in the divine light, radiating light. And as with any nourishment, in order to receive nourishment, there needs to be a space for it to arrive. Feel the spaciousness within your being. And if you care to, you could allow that divine light to flow into your being, bringing a spectrum of energy, a spectrum of light to each of the centers, just like the rainbow. The lower centers of the body emphasizing, bringing forward the deeper colors. The middle centers of the body allowing the middle colors to emerge more fully. And the higher centers of the body, letting those energies, those rays, those colors that have a finer vibration emerge. Almost as if you are plugged into a cosmic organ of light, receiving just what you need at this time. Light pouring into your being. Light whirling in the centers, stars within the star that you are. And you might notice as you relax, as you be, the radiance emerges. No need to try to make anything happen. You just being you is enough. And be aware of your feet. Be aware of your hands, your spine, your heart. And as you open your eyes, let yourself see a new world. Letting the centers relax and shine. Small stars within a greater star of your being. These are the words of Hazrat Ali. The secret of God, Source, Universe, Wholeness, whatever you call it, can be studied in his, her nature. Every traveler on foot, as a rule, lights his or her torch at the approach of night. So also is true of the heavenly traveler. Seeing darkness overwhelming in the lower spheres of our path, we can light a torch. It is the light of this torch that is called in the Quran, Nur-i-Muhammadi. This light has guided one to the surface where we can clearly discern and find the path back. To the knower's eye, this knower, this light, is the real Muhammad. This light it is which has beamed forth through all the masters of humanity and is known as the light of guidance. The soul is light, the mind is light, the body is light, light of different grades, and it is this relation which connects us with the planets and the stars. The infinite one, the infinite God, is the self of God. And all that has manifested under name and form is the outer aspect. So this is it in a nutshell. This is it. This is what's happening. in this phenomena that we call life. Shall I say it again? Read it again? Okay. So, first, could we find it somewhere? Well, I went to wahidadeen.net and I typed in all of the things that I was supposed to talk about this week and started choosing. I know, God is great. Yeah, so here we go. All right, so here it is. The soul is light, the mind is light, and the body is light. Isn't it fabulous? Pierre Zia is talking about the same thing today. Different grades of light. And it is this relation which connects us with the planets and the stars. So I'm reading to you backwards now of the way I read it before. The infinite one, the infinite God, is the self of God, and all that has manifested under name and form is the outer aspect of God. Now here's the details. It's the light of this torch. Well, I'll start at the beginning. The secret, this is again Hazrat Ali, the secret of God can be studied in his nature. Everyone okay with me just reading it the way I got it from?
If you'll speak a little louder.
Yes, thank you for saying that. The secret of God can be studied in his nature. Every traveler on foot, as a rule, lights his torch at the approach of night. So also this heavenly traveler. So what are we talking about now? The heavenly traveler? The soul, the source. Okay? So seeing the darkness overwhelming him at the lower spheres of his path, he lights a torch, this soul, that's descending, or in this case, surfacing. He lights the torch, and it is the light of this torch which is called, in the Quran, Nur-i-Muhammadi, that has guided him to the surface where he can clearly discern and find his path back. Ladies, just put her. Guided her to the surface where she can clearly discern and find her way back. This is the light on the path. Are we together? Do I need to read that again? To the knower's eye, this Nur, this light, is the real Muhammad. This light it is which has beamed forth through all the masters of humanity and is known as the light of guidance. So here we are at the surface together. And if you're in this room, I assume that you came to this place because you have this yearning to make sense of what's happening here on the surface and to find your place in it. Do I have that right? Are we in agreement? That's pretty much what we're doing here. So here we are at the surface. We have this light, and that light is the spirit of guidance. Now we get to the part that's a little tricky. And that part is, what if you don't like the hand you've been dealt? As you've emerged here on the surface, you know, you say it doesn't work for me. I read something earlier that I'm not seeing right now, so I'll see if I can just say it to you. Rashid was talking about destiny and how each soul is given a trajectory that the soul follows in using this form to the surface. And then there's a path that that soul's been given. And what is free will? Free will is what you do with what you've been given. And Murshid is talking about how it's like there's, Prasil was talking about this just this morning, how there's one layer where there's essence, and then there's the layer where there's the imaginary form. Now, remember, we, in this group, we're keeping everything to a kind of a construction model. So I'm not talking about an imaginary form as something way out there in the ozone that's subtle, so subtle we can't really even figure it out. I'm talking about you. That image that was there, that your body was built out of, that your mind exists as, your heart, your soul, that it's all part of this gift of perfection. The ones that weren't perfect didn't get born. So you are a success story. And I don't know how you're going to reconcile that with your life, but you happen to be the ones that made it to the surface. All of us are. And so here we are, each one a unique creation, each one with a certain kind of beauty, each one with a trajectory, and now we have free will. What will we do in our co-creation of beauty? How will we function? Let's engage the heart. So you can tap some part of your body, your leg, your hands together, your chest. This is a zikr of truth, one of those truths that are like one hand clapping. Don't really know how it can be. Nonetheless, it's truth. Centering in the heart. Light in all forms. Love in all being. Hu, Allah. Hu, Allah. Light in all form, love in all being. Hu, Allah. Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings. Hu, Allah. Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings. Hu, Allah. Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings. Hu, Allah. Hu, Allah. light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah. Turn it inward, looking in, light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Continue. And as you're looking within, look at the organs of your bodies. Look at the centers. Look at your heart, letting light be ignited. Look in the difficult places, giving all parts of you this acknowledgement. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Continue. Letting the light rise like a geyser, swirling around, radiating from your being, taking your place with the stars. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah, Hu, Allah. Light in all forms, love in all beings, Hu, Allah. Looking out, opening your eyes, recognizing the beauty expressed in the other souls in this room, seeing the sense of humor of the beloved, all those incredible quirks, those amazing differences. Looking at ourselves, and instead of thinking, what was the source thinking in creating me? Thinking, wow, amazing. Mercy. When the centers of the bodies are awakened and at work, then the soul experiences life more clearly. And naturally, the clouds which give depression clear away. The soul begins to look forward to life with hope, with trust, with courage, and the mind is a magic shell in which a design is made by the imagination, and the same imagination is materialized on the surface. Then the question arises, why does not all that one thinks come true? Why is not all that one wishes realized? And the answer is, that by our limitations, so we bury the divine creative power deep within our mind. Should I start with the magic shell? The mind is a magic shell in which a design is made by the imagination, and the same imagination is materialized on the surface. Then arises the question, why does not all that we think come true? Why is not all that we wish realized? The answer is that by our limitations, we, so to speak, bury the divine creative power deep in our mind. So you might ask yourself, well, why talk about this today? And the reason that I saved this part for today is because first, the heart needs to open. Then we need to create a communication with the source of our life, one that moves from complaint. Not to say that you don't ever complain. In the Jewish faith, complaining is one of the highest forms of discussion with the divine. But more in a creative aspect, more in a discussion with the beloved. And so we have these models for the divine, one being the friend, one being the beloved, one being the father, one being the mother, one being the great teacher. All of them have certain themes. So what are those themes? This is the part where we all talk. What are the themes in our relationship with the divine? We're given some guidance here on how to go about being in that communion, communication, connection with the divine, the boundless source.
Trust.
What else?
Protection.
Can you say a little more?
Sometimes, if it's just an ordinary event in life, or whatever it is, you just jump in and somehow you feel that presence and protection through it, or if you're going through a more serious passage or something that, you know, produces some concern.
So it sounds like you have an experience of being protected.
Every day.
So I'm going, if it's okay with you, I want to ask a little bit more discerning questions so that if there are people in the room that don't have that experience, they get the hang of how to link into that protection. So can you say a little more?
I think of it both to myself and my activities and in those around me also, be it loved ones, family, or people I work with who are in distress. And I guess, you know, never exactly verbalized it, but I realize there's just so much that I can do as an individual. And so I just let it go on faith that I'll do my part.
Huh. So it sounds like you do everything that you can, and then you leave it over, trusting that then there'll be some help. Okay, so we're being given instructions here. that if you can do everything you can and then make that leap to ask and have faith that it will come. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Great. Yeah, so we're gathering information. What are we gathering information on right now?
Our experiences.
Our experiences of?
Of our relationships with different aspects of the divine.
With our relationship of the divine. Thank you. So we're talking about something right now. In order to share from the pool of our resourcefulnesses, the share from the pool of our resourcefulness about the development with a relationship, that light that guides us back to the depth, that source of all energy, all light, even all creativity.
As we came out this morning, I was remembering Ted's name is directing us to listen to our hearts last night. And, so I did that for a bit. And I'd always had the concept that my heart goes up. But as I heard it this morning, it was, and it always has been, no matter where I've taken it, it's always been going up and up and up. And I realized it's for my head.
Thank you.
I find that curiosity tends to deflate differences and distinctions. So it makes me a little more open.
So you go into life with curiosity?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we're talking about the difference between living at the surface without guidance and living at the surface and recreating that path so that we're not only at the surface, we are living at every level. And this is what Hazrat Ali called the one who is the Nur, the one who is the real Muhammad, the masters of humanity, and it is the ones that have activated the light of the spirit of guidance. Here's the thing about the spirit of guidance. It's not always something that your mind totally understands, is it? It's greater than the mind. We have the body, we have the mind, we have our feelings, we have our relationships, we have our attitudes, we even have our consciousness, that which makes us say, I'm me, I'm here. And yet this guidance goes beyond all of that.
Just that I have not recognized it. It's seen that there is an answer for every prayer I've ever had, every wish I've ever wished, every desire I've ever encompassed, that it's all here. And if I could only just open up my heart, that my mind and reach out on all levels, if I could, then I could accept it. I could see it. It's all available. He created everything we need. It's all within us, outside of us. It's not just the sight of the eyes. It's like this all-encompassing love. It's total love and blessings of the Creator. There is nothing that you cannot achieve, do, feel, or have as long as you are breathing. And it's not about breathing in the body. As long as you are constantly receiving and constantly giving back, you are with you. When you're feeling that alignment, it is a complete world of all potentiality. Everything is here.
So I've heard three things. I've heard to trust that you do your best, and then when you've asked, there's an answer that comes, that there's something that comes to you. I've heard that if I go to life with openness and innocence and curiosity, something might come to me. I've heard that you can listen to your heart as the thump, the thump, the thump, or la, la, la. I've heard that everything that you've ever wished for has come to you. It's just a question of looking with the kind of eyes that can see what's in front of you, that's not filtered by your thinking. I've heard it's important to have an intimate relationship with the divine, that you could feel so comfortable that you can complain, you can have a chat, you can ask for good advice, that you feel at ease. Did I miss anything so far? We're getting really important information here from the pool of our resourcefulness.
I'd love to add to curiosity. For me, curiosity, you explore curiosity and there's another curious question and another curious question and another curious question, and that leads me to the mystery, and the mystery leads me to awe, and the awe opens my heart, and then I'm there.
So can I say about that, that each one of us can find our way to the awe of life?
And with that, if I can combine several things, it's like the incredible abundance, the incredible presence, it's always there. You know, when we lean into that, there, and the curiosity just makes it all up in there. And it's like with the questions or the things that life brings before one, whether it's a problem or a question or a being that is required or in need, it's like that abundance also has an unlimited amount of creativity, or I don't want to say answers, but you know, one can so open up when one is open to be the vehicle to feed or to create or to bring the light into whatever place it needs to be. And that's such a gift, such a splendid place to be.
So I'm hearing you say something that I want to check. Are you saying that we could be daring enough to open ourselves to be a vehicle of what's needed?
I have two ways to guide myself. One is God is closer to you than your jugular, which means there's a tremendous penetration through all of my mind world. So I would imagine that God would know a lot more about it than I would. He's closer than that. And the other is, behold, I am always with you. So there's always whereas I am seldom right but never in doubt, usually I can find that there's a great deal of guidance that comes as kind of a surrender to realizing that it's there, stepping out of the way, and patience and waiting.
Huh. I'm repeating because I don't know if this is being picked up by everything, and I think this is important information just in case all this does go out to the wider community. So I heard you say two things. I'm checking now. One is that somehow you leave space within yourself so that it's not just your personal thinking, but you leave space for the divine thinking, for that guidance to even show up in your thoughts and your feelings and your inclinations, that it's closer than your jugular vein. And so I heard you describing that.
Closer.
She says it's even closer. Yes. And did I miss the other thing?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm always with you. No, I'm always with you.
Yes. So how do we deal? Is there anything anyone wanted to add? Or? Okay.
And I don't want it to feel like a should, but it's a practice of divinity to not not separate from all the other forms. And when I encounter the other forms of beings, whether it's a child or a potato bug or tree bark, a sliver, a falling leaf, the warmth of the sun, the raindrops, those are all spirit. And it's a portal and a union.
Hmm. So I hear you saying that you acknowledge the divine not just in your own self, but in everything that you witness around you and all living creatures, and even that which is like a raindrop or a leaf, everything. Hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm remembering when I started listening to your descriptions and your encouraging, and what it took for me, and still does, is courage, a willingness to take a risk, because, you know, I always ask for guidance from the divine, and more often than not, it's so subtle that I don't know whether this was it or not. And, you know, I used to go like, can you just give me a clear sign, just make it really clear for me, would you please? Well, it's never worked for me. So I had to at some point decide, when I get these really subtle little things that maybe seem so ordinary, they could easily have come from my mind, and I don't know for sure, that I just trust and take a risk and do it. So I wanted to add that, because
that reminds me of what I do.
Well, let me just repeat that, because somebody might be listening to this right now out there in the ethers wanting to know, wait, what did she say? So I heard you say that it's not always easy to know what's guidance, but sometimes there's some subtle thought or inclination that's there, and you take a risk and you act on it, and it's proven very valuable to you.
I think there is a process that we experience with the divine of co-creation, and I also believe, from my experience, that God has a great sense of humor. Because often we are in our idealism co-creating a beauty such as a rose, and we forgot that rose came with thorns. And in our co-creation, God may present the thorn before he presents the rose and its perfume. And we need to be able to deal with that.
So we've been given some leveling information, and that is that when you ask for a rose, the thorn part might come first. So you can move enough to accept the rose. You were going to say something. If you don't hear the whisper, you'll feel the boot. Okay, so on that note, I want to talk about when it really, really, really is not what you want. When it really, really, really is not what you want. When life is giving you the thorn first. And I want to bring up Murshid right in the heart and wings, gives us the code to deal with life. He says that the wings of that heart are wings of indifference and independence. Wings of indifference and independence. What does he mean by indifference? It's a word that in the language of today, remember he said this 100 years ago, but in the language of today, that word indifference, we don't like that. We say our culture has been indifferent to whole groups of people, that our world has been indifferent to genocide. We don't like using that word indifference. And yet, in relation to the heart, Murshid is saying to us, use one wing that's called indifference. So I want to offer a possibility. And that is, when you are in the middle of an experience, you have a really big charge on it. It's so big that it's actually taking up most of your thoughts. And it's causing you great pain. There is not much that you can do except react at that point. There isn't much you can do. And so in his teaching, Murshid says, let go a little bit. Let go and give that space that says, okay, this is happening. I'm going to let there be enough space between me and this experience that I can have a different kind of view, a view that includes the wider connection. That allows space for a perception that can let this exist. Because until you accept what is there, you cannot begin to make a change. And this is the big challenge when there's a great pain that's coming. The great pain makes us want to react right away, to do something. So that indifference lets us step back. And then he says independence, that independence lets us come from a place that can serve. A place that allows us to serve. So, for example, we can use. Well, let's use an example of Pir Vilayat, okay? So, we were talking this morning about Pir Vilayat's life and how he and his sister, his family, were living during the time of the beginning of World War II. And they were hearing about terrible atrocities and about countries invading other countries and about horrible things that are happening. And they had to decide what to do. And right in front of them were all these atrocities, the teaching of their father and of their path.
And bombs falling.
Bombs falling. There was no way to ignore what was going on, and yet they had to decide what to do that wouldn't compromise their path, their hearts, their souls. And so they had to make a decision. And in order to make a decision, they needed to step back and see the big picture, right? To step back, rather than be involved in all that was going on, to step back and get perspective. And that meant to let go a little bit. This is the path of the healer. In order to be a healer, you must be able to step back, because you can't hold and witness what somebody is telling you, what they're bringing to you, if you cannot step back. Otherwise, it's just too big. It's too overwhelming. For those of you who went to the healing service for the world, we did that, didn't we? We stepped back and we imagined the world that we could encompass, that we could actually see in there, the middle of that circle. We didn't think to ourselves, oh, does that make me much bigger than the world? We just let ourselves have that experience. Let go of the emotions of the situation. Yes. Let go of your charge. And then apply that independence, that spaciousness that lets the spirit of guidance come through.
I have a question about that. How do you do that without dissociating? Because...
Without dissociating?
Yeah,
because you stay in your heart. You stay in your body, in your heart. You let your heart grow to be as big as the universe. And then whatever it is you're witnessing is smaller than that. And so you're able to encompass it completely and accept it for what it is without trying to put a nice coat on it, without trying to make it other than it is. If it involves atrocities, if it involves terror, if it involves war, you're able to hold it at that point if you can step back and let your heart become large. Let your heart hold the universe inside of it. It's not a personal thing. This is where we're going from the surface back and letting the divine take over. Not you become a puppet. It's a not that you become some sort of a machine that will now do God's work. We are in this at the surface of one being. We souls. My indigenous friends call it the we. So we're at the surface, each as individuals, but we're part of one living, awakening whole at this time in the world.
There are a lot of big questions that, how do you cope with this or that or the other thing? And they tend to be answered by, well, you do this. And you said indifference is a word that has a different meaning now, and it doesn't. It's been co-opted in order to make the atrocities that have been committed less deliberate. Indifferent. We haven't been indifferent to other people. We've been brutal to them. We've been, we've killed them. We've wiped out populations. That's not indifference. That's avarice and hate. Indifference was taught by Krishna to Arjuna. You want to be indifferent means to not be attached to the fruits of your action. It means being able to give up prefiguring how things are going to work out, to act without saying it has to be like this, and if it's not like this, it's nothing. And that's where the work comes, to be able to create that indifference, that detachment, which means it has to let you. You have to learn how to let go of a lot of of a lot of baggage that tells you this is the way things have to be. And independence We are shackled by so many things, our what we think of as our needs, how much money we need to have, how many friends we need to have, what people think of us on Facebook, whatever. It's that independence means that we are not acting in a way to keep some sort of illusion of who we are. And what that means is that we have to work on what it is in our relationships we are really looking for, and be able to free ourselves from those things which are chaining us. And that's hard work. So it's not simply stepping back. You know, the ability to step back comes from an incredible amount of inner work that needs to be done, and that needs to be done constantly, and needs to be done in silence. Well, some of us in silence, and some of us in chatting, and some of us in other things. Me, I'm talking about me. I like silence, but you wouldn't know it to listen to me, but I do.
I have two helpful metaphors for me. One is when I find myself in the pattern of righteous indignation and I share it with my beloved, he often looks at me and says, "And why are you riding around the house on your high horses? What is this all about?" So that's a distancing for me, because it's an image that I love, the fact that I'm riding my high horses around the house.
Righteous indignation.
In indignation. And the other is Pierre Boulez's metaphor of a tempest in a teapot. Because, I mean, a tempest in a teacup. And I don't even like tea. So that's not my indifference, but that gives me a separation. It makes me see that the storm, and the perfect storm that we all create ourselves, if it's in a little teacup, it's not outside my world necessarily. It's not outside my mind world. So I can, I can kind of go beyond it and get another perspective, another point of view, or solicit another point of view. Which is also a way of guidance, is to find it through someone else.
Yeah. So I'm hearing a number of thoughts about this, about how you can, the thing that I hear that seems to be a theme is the theme of letting go. Of letting go. And therefore, making space for another perspective, another way to be. I'm looking at the time. I really would love to hear from all of us, because this is a juicy conversation. So I want us to, it's 12, so let's come to a close and take hands. They have a meeting. Very
with a little help, maybe.
Okay.
We could learn the melody, which is,
Oh
thou sustainer of our bodies, hearts, and souls, bless all that we receive in thankfulness. Sing one through one more time.
Yeah.
Oh,
thou
sustainer of our bodies, hearts, and souls, bless all that we receive in So the good way to do it is that we start in a round, sing it through twice, and the second time through, keep singing in thankfulness, I mean, until everybody's done. So we have one section, two section, three section, okay?
Oh, thou sustainer of our pastures, hearts, and souls.
Yes, sir.